listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
It's roundtable time here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, this Football Tuesday edition. Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura with you. And the roundtable is brought to you by Sam and Dave's in downtown Rocky River. It's celebrating the 20th annual Main Event Lobster Celebration. You got to check out the delicious details at salmondaves.com. That's salmon like the fish, Dave's like former Brown Dave Logan. Their famous Main Event Lobster Celebration. It's going on now through Thanksgiving. So stop in on Sunday, get $15 off the delicious New England lobster bake. Folks, we've tried this out. It is phenomenal. You can't believe the amount of food you get, but for the price. And the lobster itself is, might as well be an offensive lineman for the Browns. It's a big old lobster.
Chicken. Corn.
Sam and Dave's is open every Sunday, 1 p.m., but you got to make reservations now if you're going to get in there. And Sam and Dave's, again, voted the West Side's best seafood restaurant and best happy hour by West Shore Magazine. We're getting harassed by North Turner, by the way.
That's becoming a daily thing. He walks by and he mocks us.
He's working on us. He's doing his thing here as he goes by. And Coach Sullivan's around, the offensive line coach, too. And remember about late night happy hour, by the way, every Friday night with half price food off the entire bar menu. Perfect place to stop after watching high school football. All right, we're going to talk some NFL football. And Tom Withers with us from the Associated Press on the roundtable. Tom, just in general, the feeling that a game like Sunday's gave, I know I have to remind myself it's only four wins total, but it had a transformative feeling to it. Do you not see that, or do you feel that?
I see it as I look at North Turner's smiling face across the hallway. Yeah, everybody seems to be in a good mood around here. And as Nathan said a few minutes ago, there are some positive things happening here, given all that transpired over the first 8, 9, 10 weeks, wherever we're at, major injuries, quarterback changes, you know, what's going on with Josh Gordon, Trent Richardson traded, on and on down the line. I think for this team to get where it's at, to be as healthy as it really is. I mean, some guys, as you said before, Vic, are a little bit banged up right now. I think you two guys are a little banged up.
We are, for sure.
But I think, you know, all things considered, to be at 4-5, to be back in the playoff conversation really says a lot. And I think, Vic, yeah, that Sunday was a transformative win. You know, they finally stepped up and punched one of the AFC North bullies in the mouth and really wobbled the Super Bowl champions. And I think, you know, ending that 11-game losing streak against that team speaks volumes to where this team is right now.
And regardless of how the season turns out, the fact that they've beaten the Cincinnati Bengals, mm-hmm. the fact that they've beaten the Baltimore Ravens, and I feel very confident they will beat the Pittsburgh Steelers this season, that just changes the entire landscape and the confidence for this team going into next year when, you know, winning your division and being strong in your division games is so important to actually getting to the playoffs.
100% right. The AFC North has been turned on its head. This is the first time that the Bengals and the Browns have been 1-2 in the division since the division began in 2002. So I think that says it all right there.
Yeah, that's
a great
thing.
Fact. I love it.
That's a nice fact.
It is.
And that's the other thing, is that we're finding out all these numbers. Obviously, the stopping of the 11-game losing streak in the 6 years plus. And even though the majority of players on this Browns team had nothing to do with all those other losses, to them, this is really the here and now. But even though that's the case, for the rest of us, for this town, it means something. And I think it was important for guys like Joe Hayden and others who also weren't a part of most of that, but to impart that knowledge on the younger teammates,
right,
and remind everybody, hey, this is really bigger than the here and now that you see.
Well, and it's no different than, Vic, along those same lines, it's no different than when Rob Chudzinski talks to these guys about what it was like here in the 80s and 90s when the Browns were one of the AFC powers. So I think, yeah, I think those guys walked out of that stadium on Sunday and can really feel a sense of, hey, wow, this was really important to this team, not only because we needed the win to get ourselves back into a contending situation, but yeah, we beat a team that's owned us for the last 6 years.
Yeah, and they beat them right in the face, even with, you know, we'd heard the comments from Joe Hayden and they were taken, I think, somewhat out of context, trying to be some bulletin board material, which it wasn't, but
they definitely were.
To win even in spite of that, I thought was phenomenal, and to win, defend the home field was absolutely great for this Browns team. You know, Andy Reid has obviously done a great job. They're 9-0. But this Browns team with Rob Chudzinski, and you talk about the turmoil, everything that's gone on, three quarterbacks, the Trent trade, injuries, etc. I think this is one of the best coaching jobs in the National Football League this year, going for it on the fourth downs, the trickeration, as I like to call it, in various plays throughout the season. What's your take right now at the midway point of his first season on Rob Chudzinski?
He's done a tremendous job, Nathan. You know, I'm not going to fire all my cannons right now because I just spent the last half hour in the locker room gathering that material on that very fact. That's going to be my bi-week story.
Okay.
Is going to be on Rob Chudzinski and the impact that he's had on and why this team is in the situation it's in. I talked to T.J. Ward, Joe Thomas, DeQuell Jackson, and Gary Barnage, who I thought was interesting in that he talked about how Chud was down in Charlotte, Carolina, and how he thought he would be a great NFL coach. And I think there were some real tests, as you guys have talked about already, for this rookie coach to handle, and he's passed every one of them so far. And I think the thing that I came away from my conversations with those guys with was that Chud is the same guy on Monday morning, win or lose.
He is.
And that is incredibly important to guys in that locker room because he says, yeah, great win yesterday or bad loss yesterday, and here's what we're going to do better. And then the other thing I talked to DeQuell Jackson about today was, hey, tell me what fiery Chud looks like. Who is that guy? And he said that not only that halftime speech in Kansas City, but at several other moments during the course of the season where Chud has really shown his Browns roots and his Ohio roots, and that he knows, at, you know, he played at a high level. We always forget that. He played at a high level at the U when the U was the U.
Right.
And so he knows what goes through a player's mind during the week and maybe when it's time to, you know, give him a kick in the butt or back off a little bit. And I think that's had a lot to do with where this team is right now.
Players win for you. Players, you have to have quality talent. But I do think the coaching has made a substantial difference in this team. And I don't want to say that the previous coaching staff wasn't competent, wasn't good at what it did. But I do think this staff is sharper, has a better feel for the capabilities of the players and how to utilize them, which is ultimately what a coaching staff does. But even more than that, there is a trust, belief, the faith in the players in this staff. They all said the right things when Pat Shurmur and his crew came aboard in 2011. But a lot of times you say those things and then you kind of see something else on the field. What these players are saying and reinforcing here is a honest to God belief that they're going to be put in the best position
to
win.
Well, it starts with Chud. And I think, to Nathan's point earlier, I think this belief that it's fourth down and goal, and boy, everybody in the stadium is saying this is the time to kick a field goal, and instead he goes for the touchdown and they get it. It's fourth and three with 3:12 to go, and everybody is saying, wow, maybe we should just punt it, back the Ravens up, and hope the defense can hold on. Instead, he goes for it. They get it. And I think that trickle down in that locker room speaks volumes. It says, hey, I trust you guys. We worked on this all week. I believe you can do it. And as long as you believe you can do it, you can. And they've done it. Now, 10 out of 19 on fourth down is not too shabby.
No.
But 19 is a huge number, isn't it?
It is.
For this early in the season to be going for it on fourth down?
It's the chutzpah effect.
I like it, though. And, you know, I think that there are times, and just from a pure fan standpoint, in addition to a player standpoint, I think you can get disenchanted with a coach that you continually feel like is playing not to lose, being conservative, is being safe, and not putting the trust in the players. That's got to be a remarkable feeling for the players to say, you know what? Who cares about convention? He knows we can do it. We can get a yard. Of course we can.
Exactly.
Let's go get it.
Exactly. And especially those offensive linemen, man, that's what they live on. They're like, hey, I can knock this guy back a few feet. We can get the first down. So, yeah, and I think also, you know, we'll talk about, I'm sure, Jason Campbell. And I think Jason Campbell has had a lot to do with that as well. He's had such an incredible calming influence here, a guy who's been and seen all of it.
We're visiting with Tom Withers from the Associated Press, who is part of our roundtable segment. This is brought to you by Sam and Dave's in downtown Rocky River, celebrating the 20th annual Main Event Lobster Celebration. Please check out the delicious details at samanddaves.com. When we talk, you just brought up Jason Campbell, and it's so, again, I keep going back to this. You don't succeed when you have three starting quarterbacks in the first half of the season. That's supposed to mean, you have worse than a 4-5 record. It's a below 500 record for the Browns, but that means you win maybe one or two games, maybe. It means you're a train wreck when you've done that. They're not a train wreck, obviously, and I think it's fascinating to me that they have found not one but two guys who looked, certainly in Brian Hoyer, we don't know what might have been, and the story's still playing out for Campbell, but two guys who showed that they have instantly elevated the offense. And I'm now less inclined to say that that's an indictment of Brandon Whedon as much as it is a real plus, a real endorsement of Michael Lombardi, of Joe Banner, to go ahead and find these guys who are good enough to play, not just fill uniforms.
100% right, Vic. I thought that's where you were going there, and you're spot on. I think it's a front office that thought through all kinds of scenarios in the offseason and said, hey, okay, we get an injury. Here's the kind of guy we need. Okay, Brandon Whedon maybe isn't the guy that we're hoping that he's going to become. What kind of guy do we need? We're going to need a spark at some point. What kind of quarterback is that? That's Brian Hoyer, and he surely gave it. And then when Brian Hoyer gets hit and everybody sags again and says, oh, my God, here we go again, Jason Campbell comes to the rescue, the calming influence, the 9-year veteran, 71 starts. So I'm with you, Vic. I think it says a lot about what this front office has been able to do so far.
They've had a phenomenal offseason without question, and it's borne out on the field. And I think that's one of the things that should give people a lot of confidence when it comes to what is – arguably the biggest draft in the history of this franchise. When in Pittsburgh, they can keep on losing, get that third rounder even
Let's
earlier
not talk
for them.
About draft. That's it's right. November.
No, which is great. And that's the we were talking about that yesterday. It's great that you don't have to talk about
exactly.
it, because if they lost that game,
we would
absolutely be talking about the draft. Now we're talking about the chance to go into Cincinnati and put themselves in the position to be, you know, with a little bit of help from Baltimore this week, atop the AFC North. So there's a lot that's gone on. And Jason Campbell, a very calming influence, another veteran Wilson. McGahee's come in, and I think that he has maybe a bigger off-the-field impact, it sounds like, than on right now. But the one thing that I think this team needs to be able to get it done November and December and bring, you know, this surprising and unbelievable playoff run
is a running game.
Is a little bit of a ground game.
A little bit.
We've been talking about a little bit of diversity in personnel, giving maybe Fozzie Whitaker a little more love, and also and that will allow a diversity in the play calling, so the runs aren't always between the tackles up the middle. What's your number one priority for this ground game?
Probably like you guys, I saw a little giddy up in Fozzie Whitaker on
I did.
Sunday, you know, and there were some moments where, here's the thing too, Nathan, as we've talked about before, it's a matter of not getting behind in the game and being able to stick with the run,
right.
And you're going to see good things happen, and it's also every once in a while bringing Josh Gordon around on an end around or a little bit of misdirection or what have you. So I think the running game is there somewhere. It's just kind of clouded right now under everything else that's going on. But I think, and especially as you guys know, in the second half of the season where we're not going to get wonderful weather down on the lakefront, it's imperative that they be able to run the ball to some degree.
To some degree. I we're not asking for this to become suddenly a ground and pound, because A, it's not what they are, but B, yes, you can have a good running game to go along with a good passing game. I don't even know if good is where I'm at, because they're so far below good that I will take competent, or one of our favorite words on the show. I will just take a level of production that gives them the chance to, when they need to, grind the clock
That's
out,
what it
occasionally
is.
Bounce
exactly.
out. And you got to have that.
Like you did with those final 6 minutes on Sunday.
Yeah.
You mixed it up well enough. And let's not forget, too, that with the talent that they have, and with, you know, Devon Best coming back and playing as well as he did last week, those short passes are essentially an extension of the running game.
They're
long
handoffs. But
it,
as much as I love their record on fourth down, that's not – the odds are against you.
Get it on third down.
If you've got to live on fourth down plays and you're not – right, converting – third and shorts with run plays, you've got an issue. So that could be something to watch. Just one last thing here, Tom, too.
Sure.
Just as far as the rest of this offense looks, we saw the breakout – the breakout games from both Greg Little, Devon Bess had respective breakout games. And it came at the best time possible, because it was a Josh Gordon, Jordan Cameron shutdown day. So that's going to come up again. But how confident are you that beyond – Gordon and Cameron. This team does have guys they can consistently go to. Are we going to see more of Little and Bess's success? How sold are you on what they did?
You show me again. They're going to have to do it again because, let's be honest, the game plans on a week-to-week basis are going to be, okay, either we're going to stop Gordon or we're going to stop Cameron, and somebody else is going to have to beat us. So it's imperative on those two guys to step up and do it once again.
And I agree with you, and the chances will be there, because for the Browns to be able to beat the Baltimore Ravens in a game where Josh Gordon and Jordan Cameron had 48 yards receiving and incredible, no touchdowns, and Campbell threw for three and well over 250 yards is mind-boggling. If they can get, you know, that kind of production on a weekly basis, this is going to be an offense that will have diversity via the pass game, even if they can't necessarily generate it on the ground.
All right. Thank you so much, Tom.
Welcome,
we appreciate
guys.
It.
Love the roundtable.
He is Tom Withers of the Associated Press in the roundtable. It's brought to you by Sam and Dave's in downtown Rocky River, celebrating the 20th annual Main Event Lobster Celebration. Again, check out the delicious details at salmondaves.com. Salmon like the fish, Dave's like Dave Logan, or Dave DiNatale. That's, I'm going to start using Dave DiNatale on that.
Thank you very much.
Producer.
I like that.
More coming up on CBD. You're going to hear from Gerard Cherry in hour number two. Christian Yount, you don't hear much from this guy. He's the long snapper for the Browns. Jameer Howerton goes inside the locker room with him. We're going to do after further review. We're going to have a lot of fun. What else do you want to do? Anything else, Nathan?
You get some barks from the dog pound. Let's get people calling us up. 216-578-0850. Again, 216-578-0850.
When you put your thumb and your pinky out, and I thought you wanted me to give you a call, and I said, you know, we're 2 feet away.
No, I think that is it. Carly, is this a – what's this mean? Call me.
I'm not calling him.
That's right,
we want you to call us. 216-578-0850. It's CBD, ESPN 850 WKNR.